So today we're going to continue the discussion of the purification process of the Metzora. As we'll see in verse 3, where we left off yesterday, still in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, the Torah now says, V'tziva ha-kohen. Verse 4. We studied the first three verses yesterday. In the fourth verse of Parshas Metzora, the Kohen issues a command. V'lokach la-metaher, and it is taken for the purifier, shnei tziporim, two birds. These birds have to be chayes, they have to be alive. These birds have to be teiris, they have to be pure. The eitz eres, and a stick of cedar, ushni selas, and a scarlet thread, the ezoib, and a hyssop shrub. Okay. Let's take this from the top. V'tziva ha-kohen v'lokach. Who takes? Does the kohen take? Does the metzora take? Who is the kohen talking to? So the Teres Kohen says, or the Sifra says, the commandment has to be issued by the kohen. The kohen's calling the shots here. But the action can be taken really by anybody. Doesn't matter who takes it. The kohen says, okay, let's get the stick. Somebody bring the thread, find the birds. Who does it is less relevant. As it says, v'tziva ha-kohen, and then it says, v'lokach la-metayer, then it's taken for the one who is becoming pure. The Teres Kohenim says, because it doesn't say, v'lokach ha-metayer, it doesn't say that the metzora who's becoming pure should take these items, it says, v'lokach la-metayer, it should be taken for him. So the Teres Kohenim says, that teaches us that it doesn't matter who brings the items, somebody else can do it for him. Maybe this person has some friends, maybe he has somebody who cares about him. So they might want to help out and assist, and that's fine. Teres Kohenim also says that V'lokach la-metaher teaches us a very, very interesting detail about Kodshim. Usually, whenever you have something done based on Migdash-wise, it has to be done specifically for the intention or purpose of this individual. So if you bring a korban, but you didn't have this individual in mind, you just brought it, broadly speaking, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Similar example, if you write the Megillah of a sota, when there's this suspected adultery, and we have to write down this special formula, scripture, and then it gets erased. So if you write it, for a sota, not for this sota, it's not kosher. Chas v'shalom, a person has to give a get. The get has to be written specifically. If it's not written, you can't have empty gitten and just like fill them in. Rabbinic documents, you can do that way. A ketubah, you can do that way. But not a get, because that's a biblical document. So usually when we need to do things specifically for somebody, it has to be with them in mind. And here the Teres Kohenim says, it doesn't say v'lokach l'hamitzora, it says l'okach l'hamitahir. Not even lahamitayer. Limitayer. It's taken for the one who's getting purified. So therefore, it doesn't have to be taken with this mitzvah in mind or with this procedure in mind. And if two people bring the items, then some of the items could be put away for a different occasion. So this is the general opening notion here of v'tziva ha-kohen v'lokach. The kohen gives the command. The kohen is the one calling the shots. Somebody will bring these items. It's not so important what they have in mind, as long as it's being brought for the purposes of Tahara. Now, the question could also be asked, it should say, V'lokach la-nitaher. Why la-mitaher? Nitaher would be for the purpose of the one becoming purified. And the fact that it says la-mitaher seems to indicate that it's for the one, that individual himself, it almost indicates some kind of participation on his part. So the Pardes Yosef says something very interesting. Purification process. It's foul play, you need birds, you need a stick, you need a thread of scarlet, all these things are true. Yeah, all true. But he says, along with all of this, the Metzora himself, the person who wants to become purified, has to be contrite. And if he is not going to participate, he doesn't have to get the stick, he doesn't have to find the cedar, he doesn't have to bring the thread, he doesn't have to tie it together. He doesn't do any of that stuff. But if he himself is not serious about this, he himself is not committed to restoring his own spiritual purity, And this is what we call the Tara Ayyadei Tshuva Vehiseridus. That's in the words of the Pardes Yosef. Through tshuva, through return, spiritual rehabilitation, and spiritual awakening. If the Mitzora is not committed to that, it's not going to work. Then it's just going to be a functional, technical procedure, and something's going to be missing here. So that's the emphasis of Lachla Mitahir, the Mitahir himself. It's not being taken only for or on behalf of the person becoming pure. The Mitahir, the person becoming pure, is part of this process. And he really has to roll his sleeves up, proverbially, and get involved too. So we have now some understanding of what has to begin this process. And now let's talk about the items. So what do you take? So the Torah lists a number of important ingredients here, all of which are necessary. The first is shtei tziporim, two birds. Not just any birds. These birds have to be chayas and tahiris. So what do we learn from the fact that it has to be chayas and tahiris? Let's take a look at Rashi now. Rashi says, chayes, live birds. Did you think dead birds? Stuffed birds from the taxidermist's shop? Like, well, what were you thinking over here? It says right afterwards, v'shachat, that you have to slaughter the bird. You can't slaughter dead birds. Why would the Torah have to say, tziporim chayes? When we talk about the offerings, karbonot, does it say that you have to bring tziporim with a chayes? Tziporim. Tziporim obviously means chayes. It's birds. It means live birds. So what's the emphasis? So Rashi says, prat l'treifes. You cannot take a bird who already was injured and is on the way to his demise. That's called a treifa. Treifa literally means torn. And the reason it's called treifa is because the archetypal example of an animal who is on the way to his demise is, for example, a sheep who is attacked by a wolf, by a bobcat, and he's torn. His lungs were torn, or his innards were punctured. So he's not going to last. So once the process of demise has already begun, so then Shechita can't help. Shechita has to take a perfectly healthy animal and has to bring about his demise instantaneously. Otherwise, if it's a slow demise, then it's not considered to be kosher and it can't be used. Now, nobody's eating these birds. It's true. Nonetheless, still the Torah wants you to know that they have to be chayes, birds in optimal health. Prat l'teifes. You cannot bring a bird which is, so to speak, half dead or on the way to dying. Tahiris, birds that are pure, again, very unusual. None of the times the Torah tells us to take a bird, does the Torah specify that it has to be a kosher bird? Tahir, pure, means kosher, really. So Rashi says, no, prat loiv tami. This is coming to rule out the concept of the unkosher bird. And now Rashi says something interesting. Lefishane goyim boyim aloshen hara. These legions did not come out of a vacuum. He didn't catch it from somewhere else. This is not a question of contagion. This is a paranormal, a miraculous situation. So why did Hashem send it? What did it happen for? And the answer is Lashon Hara. Shehu Maise Pitputei Dvarim. Lashon Hara is not necessarily that somebody said to himself, how do I destroy such and such a reputation? Or how am I going to make an orchestrate a full media campaign to take this person down and perform what they call character assassination? No, it's just lots of talking. In World War II, there was a maxim in the United States. They said, loose lips, sink ships. People talk, said things, didn't realize. And by not being mindful, or just chirping all day, or to use modern-day syntax, tweeting. When you tweet indiscriminately, you could cause tremendous damage. Lefichach, therefore, huzkiku l'taharasa yitziporim. That's why the birds are necessary. Because what do birds do? They chirp all day. They tweet. That's what Twitter's image is, a little bird. Shemefatmim tamid b'tziftzif kol. Because they're always making noise or tweeting with their voices. And as so, this is an allusion to the concept of Lashon Hara. So now we know why we need birds, because birds tweet, and the tweeting of the birds is similar to the chirping or the tweeting of the Lashon Hara. That's why the birds are there. Now that's what Rashi says. Another interesting notion, the Panech Raza says, that when we speak about birds, Birds often are, they don't always congregate. I mean, flamingos always congregate, but not all birds come together. And a lot of times the birds jump from branch to branch. They're like alone. They don't, too many birds on a branch, the branch will break. They're these thin branches, and the bird is always moving about. He says, a bird is sometimes kitzipur noidedes minkona min elkona. He goes from branch to branch. And this person has to move from his place to be alone, because through his Lashon Hara, he caused others to be alone. So the Lashon Hara brings about isolation. He destroyed relationships. And because he destroyed relationships, he now had to taste the bitter feeling of being alone. Mechutz l'machane. And that's kind of what the birds bring. Rashi says, no, it's about the behavior of the birds. The birds tweet. That's what this is about. Eitz erez, a tall cedar, a cedar stick. Rashi says, l'fisha ha'negoyim boyin al gasa suruach. Because another thing that causes this notion, these lesions, is arrogance. And the unwarranted arrogance is symbolized with this cedar tree. And the reason is because the cedar tree in the Middle East is said to be the tallest of trees. Ushni selas ve'ezev, Rashi says, what's with the scarlet thread and the shrub? So here you have a person who opened his mouth and destroyed relationships. We bring the birds. He was haughty, high and mighty, looked down at others. We take a stick of the tallest tree. How can he fix himself? And the answer is, Yashpil atzme migavosei. Then he has to lower himself from his arrogance, kitoilas ucheezev, like a worm and like a shrub. So the scarlet thread actually mimics the image of a worm. That's what it's supposed to look like. That's why it's a scarlet thread. So he's lowly as a worm, which is an animal that crawls on the ground, and the lowest lying shrub, which is called a hyssop. Eitz erez, Rashi says, is makel shel erez, a stick of cedar. Shni selas l'shoin shel tzemer tzavua zahedis. This is a strip of cloth or a thread which is dyed deep red. So the Rashi doesn't really mention this. Rashi just says the Eitz erez is about the arrogance that the Metzora expressed. But the Ibn Ezra says that these two plants are Godol v'Katan b'mini hatzmachim, represent the largest and the smallest amongst vegetation. At least that's how it is in the Middle East. There's a very interesting verse in the Book of Kings, in the fifth chapter. It's verse 12. And it starts off, verse 11, is the famous words about Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom. Vayidaber Shlomo Shloshes Alafim Mashal. That he was able to speak 3,000 different parables or metaphors, which meant, not that he made a lot of nice stories, and he was a cute creative writer. It meant that he could relate an idea to 3,000 different levels of understanding. For each one, he could craft a perfect metaphor, and each individual would understand exactly what Shlomo HaMelech was teaching him. That's extremely brilliant. In the next pasuk, it says that he spoke to the trees and the shrubs, and then to all the animals. So the Mefarshim say, what, he talked to the walls? Who gives speeches to trees? Why would he speak to shrubs? And the Medrash says, no. It doesn't mean that he would speak to shrubs, and this is what Rashi quotes. It says he would speak of vegetation, from the cedar to the hyssop, from the erez, which is the tallest tree, to the hyssop, which is the lowest shrub. Meaning, Shlomo HaMelech understood the natural sciences. And he knew which wood could be used for which purpose, which herb could be used to heal what kind of illness, and what properties were found in every type of vegetation. And so he also knew how to harness and marshal the strength of the animals. So he had this incredible grasp of the entire gamut of creation. He understood how to utilize everything. That's the meaning of it. Now, the Ibn Ezra says here, he invokes this verse from the Book of Kings, and he says, you see, from that verse, when the scripture wants to tell you about Shlomo HaMelech's mastery of the natural sciences and his grasp of the power of vegetation, we use the example of erez, the tall cedar, and then the hyssop, the ezev. Why? Because these are the two poles, from the tallest to the lowest, to the smallest. Ibn Ezra says, that's the point here. Here's a person who was high and mighty, haughty and arrogant, and now is going to experience humility being brought down to the concept of the hyssop. So this is a little bit of how we understand the reasoning behind these different items that are taken for the purification of the Zohar. The Sfasema says something very interesting. He says, if it's all about humility, so what's the cedar stick doing there? The cedar shows on arrogance. It's a tall tree. You should have a hyssop. You shouldn't have a cedar at all together. And he says that when a person was high and mighty and then he fell from that position, so the shame is much greater. And he says that shame that the Metzora experiences, having been so obsessed with himself, living such a geocentric existence, thinking that everything revolves around him and he's the most important person in the whole wide world, and look down at everybody, and then to fall from that situation into his current situation, it's the range, so to speak, of the fall that brings about his humility. And therefore, it's a part of the process. So the one thing we really haven't answered is, Rashi starts off with some details about the birds. The birds have to be alive, so we said, yeah, not birds that are about to die. The birds have to be pure, not birds that are not kosher. And then Rashi goes off on this business of tweeting birds and of Lashon Hara. It's like, what's the connection here? Later on, Rashi talks about the Eitz Eretz, he gives a symbolism. The way this Rashi reads seems jilted. It doesn't flow through. There isn't a cadence here. And the Mefarshim actually asked this question. So the Baal HaLevushim asked the question, Nachas Yankev, Maskel David, they asked this question. They say, how does the beginning of Rashi and the end of Rashi fit? Rashi starts off with technical details from the Teres Kohenim. Chayes, live, not Trefes. Tehoires, not impure. And then he says, because Negoyim come from Lashon Hara, and birds tweet, and that's what this person was kind of doing. So the Rebbe suggests that they're not mutually exclusive. It's a good question. Doesn't seem right. And therefore we must say that the latter part of Rashi necessarily contributes to our understanding of the opening part of Rashi, which speaks about the technical halachic details of the status of the bird, namely, not a bird who's a trefa, and not a bird who's not kosher. All right, it's in the bottom of page Reish Hei, Bir HaDvarim here. Mataras Rashi bePirushei. Rashi here is coming to try to help us understand. Es hadgoshas hakosof, the emphasis of the verse, Sha'atziporim, tzorech li es chayes teheres, that the Torah emphasizes these birds, they must be live, these birds, they must be pure. Pratim, details. Shebederech klal, that broadly speaking, this is not the first time we've heard of birds. There's been lots of foul play in the Torah. We had all kinds of offerings and korbanot of birds. Never before did the Torah say chayes and teheres. Only here the Torah emphasizes they have to be live and have to be pure. Why did the pasuk feel compelled to mention live and pure here? And the answer? The answer is because why are the birds here altogether? Why are we bringing these birds? And the answer is because Lashon Hara. Because there was negative stuff going on. Because the tweeting of the bird, which could be negative, is what this person did. But one second. If the birds are kosher and the birds are alive, what's negative about that? Really nothing. Hanigoyim bayom Lashon Hara, which is ma'aseh pitputi dvarim. There's lots of tweeting and chirping. So b'dvarim elo Rashi mitzayin shtei tchunas shochet zeh. He's talking about two things about the sinner. Number one, it's Lashon Hara. Slanderous. Gossip. Bad talk. Lashon Hara, bad talk, is dibur posel v'tameh. You would call it talk which is inappropriate and talk which is impure. And then he says, ma'aseh pitputi dvarim. Ma'aseh pitputi dvarim means repetition. Bali Lashon Hara, gossip mongers, don't always have fresh news. So what do? They recycle the news. They dress it up a little. They change it. The main thing is you have what to talk about. Who are we going to talk about today? Who are we going to slander? Who are we going to make look bad today? We talked about him yesterday already. Okay, we can talk about him again. The bird chirps seemingly endlessly. So lefika chuskikula tarasitziparim, because this is a person A who speaks inappropriately. B doesn't get enough of it and keeps endlessly retweeting and retweeting. So lefika chuskikula tarasit. That's why he has to have tziparim. Why does he have to have tziparim? What did the tziparim do? She mefat fefin mefat petim. Tomid betziftzuf koil, because they're always making noise. They're always chirping. Shekein. Letzios atziparim tchunas minagodeis letchunas eshalachet. Really and truly, if you think about it, the bird is not identified with the metzora. He's the polar opposite of the metzora. Why? The tziparim are number one tahiris. The tzipor is pure. This person behaved in a way of tameh, of impure. So the bird is chirping. Do you know what the chirping bird represents? There's this beautiful writing called Perek Shida, which speaks about all of the noises in the world, from the rustling of the grass to the crashing of the waves.
Singing to Hashem?
The bird is singing to Hashem? There are interesting experiments people did by taking the bird's chirping and actually translating it into musical notes. It's music. The bird's chirping is a beautiful thing. You know, when you walk out of the house at 4 or 6 in the morning these days, and you're not freezing to death, and for a change you hear birds chirping, it's nice. It's a nice thing. Chirping birds is nice, it's positive. They're singing to Hashem, so we have a situation of a Metzora who raised his voice. He wasn't singing to Hashem. In fact, he wasn't singing anybody's praises. He was denigrating everybody around him. So the Tziporim HaTahiris, they're pure. They're the polar opposite of who the Metzora is. And their tweeting is pure. The Tziporim are Chayes HaBriyes. The Tziporim are healthy. And this person behaved in a way in which he harnessed the energy and life that Hashem gave him in a negative way. In other words, there's two ways a person might understand these birds. Either these birds do what the Metzora does, so we're going to kill one of them, or these birds are the opposite example for the Metzora to learn from. And therefore Rashi says, these birds are Tahiris and Chayis. These birds are pure and live. Why? Because ultimately the Metzora behaves in exactly the opposite fashion of these birds. So now we understand that the emphasis on these birds is Tahiris and Chayis. So we should understand, say to the Metzora, here's who you were, and here's who you could and should be. And the birds become the paradigm for how the Metzora should be. The person says, I got to talk. I have this need to talk. The bird has a need to twirt, to tweet and to chirp. He didn't do anything negative. I use my powers of speech. Of course you do, in a negative way. But the bird used its powers of chirping and tweeting in a positive way. And instead of making misery, he made music. And that's the message to the Metzora. So the Metzora gets these items, all of which is supposed to teach him a lesson. Make music, not misery. Forget about your arrogance. And instead, reach for humility. And when the Metzora, as we said in the beginning, in the name of the Paradis Yosef, is ready to participate, not simply watch these items be collected and be a passive participant, but instead of being an active participant and learning the lesson that these items have to broadcast, and then being able to download and appreciate the concept that's being conveyed to him, that he has to do tshuva, that he has to embrace a new kind of life, that's the purification process of Metzora, and that's how he's able to return and be restored to a proper, holy existence amongst the Jewish people. And that's all.